This is the LarryInFishers.com podcast. I'm Larry Lannon, and today we're going to talk about the city engineering department. It's always a great idea to talk to our city engineers right about springtime, because that's when the projects begin to work out in earnest. They've already started, actually, in and around Fishers. I'd like to welcome once again Hatem Mekki, the Director of Engineering for the City of Fishers. Welcome back, Hatem.
Good morning, Larry.
Always great to talk to you. And I'd like to welcome Brad Pease. Brad is fairly new to the City of Fishers, the Assistant Director of Engineering for the city. So, Brad, welcome to City of Fishers. Well, good to have you.
Good morning.
I want to start off, Brad, by just introducing you, because you're a 2010 grad of Rose Holman, an institution that produces lots of engineers all over. But you also have a master's degree of jurisprudence with distinction from the IU School of Law here in Indianapolis, in the area of Indianapolis, the Bikitti School. So it's not a common combination. How did that come about?
Yeah, in my previous employment with the City of Carmel, there were a number of legal battles. Those kind of questions come across our desk from our lawyers and talking with different lawyers about different processes. So it was a good opportunity for me to take some classes down there to learn more about the legal profession, communicate better with our lawyers, understand how they work a little bit better. So that's where that sort of started. Started with a few classes, a few more, eventually enough to get a degree. So it was pretty beneficial, for me.
Well, Hatem, just covering the City of Fishers, law comes into just about everything you do.
I think it was great for our team to have as much lawyers as we can.
Yes, law comes into just about everything. Brad, I just would ask you to explain the main duties you will have as the Assistant Director of Engineering for the city.
Capital project management, all the different roundabout jobs, road widening jobs, path projects, kind of oversee those, work with our staff on making sure that they're on time, under budget, that kind of thing, as well as with development project. Another arm of the engineering department is working with developers, reviewing their development projects. So in a similar fashion, making sure we cross the T's, dot the I's, so that way Fishers gets what they deserve.
And that would be residential, commercial, both?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Hatem, let's talk about the many, many projects you have underway and some that have not begun. And one I want to start with is Cumberland Road, because last year I was at several meetings and it was mentioned that Cumberland Road south of 116th Street would be basically reconstructed, would have to be closed for a period of time. That was expected to happen this year, but it looks like it will not happen this year. So explain what's going on there.
So Cumberland Road is one of those famous projects that we have in the city. It is the widening between 106 and 116th Street. We were on par, we were on schedule to start construction of this project. We had to do our due diligence, obviously, with utilities. We have a lot of utilities on that corridor that need to get relocated. With COVID and all of the resources and the lead times for materials really did affect that project a lot. One of which is the Duke lead time on their relocation. So we were in constant communications with them, and obviously one of their components had to have lead times. We were aware that it's going to be a long lead time, but we weren't necessarily aware that it was going to be over 365 days. So that was one of the big hurdles that we came across during the development of this project. And then when we were working with Duke on all of these items, we hit another snag, which is the Buy America, Build America, which needed to get resolved pretty quickly in order for us to start, giving them the notice to proceed and getting their materials ordered and to start the clock on that 365 days. But obviously that went, a long way with NDOT and the feds, and they had to get an agreement of what Build America and Buy America components that can and cannot go on this project. I want to say that we do have a resolve. They have a resolve on what that component is classified, and I think it's called de minimis. But they still have to get agreements done with NDOT and the feds, and that's still in the works. We still haven't received a lot of information on where they are. So unfortunately, that puts us in a situation where we need to be very careful on, you know, what that's going to do to the project. So we're in constant communication with NDOT, the MPO, and Duke, and trying to figure out what the next steps are for us.
And MPO is a metropolitan organization, planning organization, which has a lot to do with hooking you up with federal funds. So that's the key there. You know, Brad, your center capital projects are part of what you do. I don't think a lot of the people in the public understand that when you have a major project such as Cumberland Road, that the utilities have a right to get in there and need to get in there, and that's really where the delay is coming in here.
Yeah, that's pretty typical on any job, and so it's not so much a battle between us and the utilities, but working together to you know, figure things out, come up to a solution, and a lot of different schedules, different timelines for materials and different things have to be coordinated together, so it's a pretty complicated process.
So based on what I'm hearing from you, Hatem, it looks pretty unlikely there'll be any work on Cumberland Road this year, correct?
No, not this year. If anything, we'll see utility relocations. Obviously, if Duke decides to get out there and do some relocation, just preliminary work for their assets, you will see them there. We do have other utilities. We have communication companies that are on there. We have gas and water that are on Cumberland Road. So we're not going to see a lot of road reconstruction this year, but we can anticipate looking at some utility work this year or maybe the beginning of next year.
Let me move to a project that's received a lot of attention locally on social media and elsewhere. That's the project that began not long ago at 96th Street and Allisonville Road. It's Allisonville Road and 96th Street is, of course, the Fishers border with the city of Indianapolis, Marion County. We're moving that whole intersection from a Michigan left, which was installed just shortly after I started covering this blog, which was around 2013, if I recall correctly. But right now you're going to move that from a Michigan left to a roundabout. So a lot has been discussed about how you've had to reroute traffic. You've already, I think, had to close off 96th Street on the west side of that street, and there will be other adjustments coming up. So talk about this project, how you are doing it now, and what changes people are going to see as that construction continues.
Sure. Yeah, we know that 96 and Allisonville is a very important corridor intersection for the city. Actually, for us, Fishers, for City of Indianapolis, and also City of Carmel. We had multiple communications with a lot of those entities. I know there's a couple of projects in in the area, like the Masters Road development. That was a project that Indianapolis DPW is undergoing. There's obviously the big project of Clear Path. So we had to communicate a lot about the schedule with the folks at NDOT for the 465 projects, the folks at Indianapolis for their Masters Road, and obviously we do border Indianapolis, and also discussions with Carmel, because our detour route reroutes the traffic through Hazeldell and 116th Street. And we also had to communicate with the folks up in Hamilton County, because they do maintain the 116th Street lights at Eller Road. So there was a lot of communications leading up to the intersection MOT Phase 1. We did reach out to a lot of the businesses and residences there in the area. You know, kudos to our PR department. We put a couple of online webinars on what we can expect for that intersection and how the construction is going to go. And currently we do have the first maintenance of traffic phase. It is, we are constructing the west side of the intersection. So we're building this roundabout in halves. We're starting with the west half. Once we finalize that area, we're gonna switch to the east half and then switch traffic currently on Allisonville to the west side. So hopefully we can get that done as soon as possible and with less headaches to the commuting public as possible.
But the plan is to keep Allisonville Road moving at least one lane north and south throughout the project, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Allisonville north and south will be maintained throughout the project. 96th Street is currently right in, right out on the east side. So if you're traveling westbound on 96th Street, you can turn right on Allisonville. And if you're traveling north on Allisonville, you can turn right going eastbound on 96th Street.
You know, Brad, I wonder how you reacted when you first saw the plans for this. This is a very big project and is tied in with some construction going on not far from there. There's going to be a big park on White River, and there's some commercial residential development going in right in there. So that's all interwoven as you look at this intersection.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and as much as we wish we could, you know, make the dominoes fall perfectly to not interrupt anybody's day, you know, there's a little bit of pain in progress, and if we slow down, it doesn't get done. So sometimes you got to move forward, and you have these neighboring communities that have their projects, and they have the same kind of mindset. Probably, you know, you got to get it done when you can get it done. So nothing's getting cheaper, so now's the best time to build it.
Having lived in Fishers over 30 years, I've heard that phrase many times. You know, short-term pain for long-term gain. So yeah, we're working that way. So, Hatem, one last question on this. How long do you project it will take to finish this project at 96th and Allisonville?
It will probably take us to the fall of this year. So we're anticipating before December and before the weather changes that we'll have the final configuration, traffic configuration on this roundabout. There's going to be odds and ends that, you know, bleed into next year, but we anticipate the traffic being open to all directions by the end of this year.
Let me move on to another project that's been the subject of discussion around Fishers for several years, State Road 37 and 141st Street. There is a long history. I can remember when 37 was being planned early on, and Jeff Hill told me that was going to be the first intersection that would be done. Well, now it's the way things have morphed and changed, it's now the last interchange to be done, and the plan is to build that roundabout above State Road 37 and have traffic unobstructed with an underpass, as we've seen on 126 and 131st, very similar to that design. So it's taken years to get to this point. There have been a lot of unforeseen circumstances that have come up. The pandemic is one of them, and the resulting inflation after that, and the inability to get a competitive bid. But it appears you have a bid you're inclined to accept now. So tell us, you know, where we are, just how we got to where we are in that particular interchange.
Sure. To just touch on it being the first one, or the plans of it being the first one, we know that when we did start the design process for 37, there was a couple of different outlets for our drainage, one of which was going down 141st Street. We did talk to the public. We talked to the residents in the area. We had a lot of public feedback, public meetings. We had some residents that did not necessarily favor this route. So we listened to them. We went back to the drawing board, and with a lot of other items also on the corridor, we decided to take the drainage route from 141st to 146th Street. So that obviously didn't, we always start with the downstream of drainage when we do our construction projects. So that shifted 141st to 146th Street. So our downstream drainage for those two intersections went down 146th Street. So that meant 146th Street would have to get done before 141st Street. So that, I think, is a little bit of backstory, design backstory that people don't necessarily know about. But it was kind of done in the beginning stages of design and planning for this project. And like you said, we've gone, we had to jump a lot of hurdles to get this project going. With all of the intersections kind of done, we did see a lot of issues with 141st Street signal, when that was a signal. So obviously the discussion was, we want it safe for the people traveling on 37. We've seen a lot of traffic backed up from 141st all the way to 131st Street. So when you go underneath 131st Street, you don't necessarily see the traffic stopped. And it was a lot of issues that we've heard a lot of people complain about. And the way you see it now, we told people that it was going to be temporarily. We never thought of 141st as not going to be an interchange. We turned that into a right in, right out, and we took out the signals, and we've seen that pain and that safety issue alleviate. So that was a big positive for the people driving on 37. And as you mentioned, we did get a favorable bid. We bid this project in April 10th. Just want to make sure that people know that we're moving forward. This is not taking the backseat to all of our projects in the city. This is a partnership between multiple entities. So the funding for this intersection is kind of unique. It's not the same as all of the other projects that we have in areas. So we anticipate the contractor to be out there here within a month and a half. And we'll see a lot of movement as far as the traffic and switching traffic from one side to the other and construction starting here.
You know, Brad, I remember when 37 was first being planned, Jeff Hill was the director of engineering, and there were people talking about drainage, just as Hatem mentioned. And I remember Jeff Hill going out, I think it was along 141st, where some residents there talked about some ongoing flooding that had been happening, and he wasn't even aware of that, and realized that he had to fix that problem as part of this. So, and then you have just acquiring rights of way along that line. So there's as Hatem mentioned, there's a lot, and even adding to the complexity of 37 is you have the state of Indiana, you have Hamilton County, you have Fishers, all need to be involved in any planning for this. So I'm going to say, from what you know about that project, it's taken several years just to get us to where we are today to finish that last interchange.
Yeah, but the light's at the end of the tunnel now, so hopefully everyone's pretty excited about that last little piece coming together. So I know when I first graduated college, Keystone Avenue, which is one of the, similar to what 37's gone through, was a project that I saw get built, and I had to drive down it for my commute at the time through all the signals and three and four signals, sitting there cycling to what it is now. And so 37's gone through a similar transformation, it's really transformational for the people that have to take that commute. It changes their lives, we hope, and makes it better for them. So,
as somebody who commuted from downtown Indianapolis to Fishers for many years and sat in State Road 37 traffic a lot, I would have to say commuters are having a much better time getting through Fishers. Noblesville's going to have to do it next, and I know that's they've got a long-term plan to look at 37th and the traffic lights they have there. So what's the timeline that you see right now? I know you're waiting on some approvals that need to be done that are not part of your department or the city's decision. So what's your best timeline on when this will start and finish?
So we're currently working with NDOT to finalize all the contracts and paperwork to get this going. The contract is going through NDOT. It's not going through the city of Fishers. So the intricacies of this partnership is a lot of layers to it. So we're working with Hamilton County, our partner on this job, and NDOT to finalize that as soon as possible. And we're hoping within a month or so, give the contractor the notice to proceed and he can start the work as soon as possible. In the meantime, we're working with our PR department and the outside consultant, the Thrives 37 program, 37 Thrives, to work with the businesses in the area and increase the communications with the residents and the businesses and just let them know that this is actually coming, and provide the same services that we did with all of the other businesses on all of the other intersections. Give them some spotlight in on our page, give exhibits to them if they need to. We obviously have the signs on 37 letting people know that these businesses are still open during construction. So that will be ramping up here within weeks.
Yes, I've been again around this project a long time, and I can still remember back when the Hamilton County Council had to give their final approval on this. And somebody took a 5-minute recess, which turned out to be 45 minutes, and there was an agreement reached between the among city and county, and the state was involved too, to take money from the bond that was being let for State Road 37 and have a marketing program for the businesses. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Keystone, Brad, and I know that there was some serious pain with some of the businesses along Keystone Avenue when that Carmel lost a lot of businesses, and I think Fishers learned from that. And from what I have heard from the economic development people is that they know of no situation where 37, the construction caused any business to go out of business. There have been some pain, but they've used some marketing, some other techniques to try to get people in to continue to run. I know the businesses along 141st and 37 have been working with that 37 Thrives program, which was funded by that original bond for the State Road 37. So you're confident that based on what you know, that this 141st and 37 project should be complete this year?
No, 141st and 37, it's going to take two construction seasons.
Okay, so it'll be net 2025.
It will be by the end of 2025. We'll see it similar to what the other intersections are. And then the odds and ends would continue on to 2026.
Hot Tim, a big project. Another one that's coming is 116th Street and Allisonville Road. Kind of the first commercial area of Fishers when I first moved here, when downtown wasn't developed at that time. So that's another big plan that you have. I went to a meeting not that long ago with some of the people and businesses in the area, with some of the engineers involved. And I know that gas station there, that I think it's Shell Station or Circle K, yeah, or whatever they call it, is going to, there'll be a small portion of their land, but it's not going to impact their business at all or any of the gas pumps. And there's some land there that was originally going to be a business but didn't end up being a business. That's some land that will be taken for part of that roundabout. That's another very big project that's planned. Just kind of some people who are interested and live or have businesses in that area, where does that project stand right now, Hatem?
The project now is currently, we're working with utilities. So the development phase of this project, we do have plans that have been developed all the way to 60 to 75% plans. We intend on taking this project and hopefully starting construction next year. We obviously have to look around the area and see what other projects are there, similar to what we did on 96 in Allisonville, have the communications open. Identify what our detour route is, make sure that we have conversations with the businesses and knowing what their issues will be in the future. And hopefully this one is also going to fall into place in the big puzzle that we have in the city of Fishers of, okay, if this one's going to go now, which one is going to go later? And then is 96 in Allisonville going to be done by the time that we start 116th in Allisonville? Is there any other project in the area that's going to impact the traveling public? So we know from what we see on 96 in Allisonville that it's not going to be any less important than that intersection. So we're really hoping to get a lot of those utilities and right away cleared for us to start construction on it next year. But for the plans for right now, we're anticipating next year in the summertime.
And will you have to close any roads? Will Allisonville, for example, be able to remain open at least one lane, or do you know the details of those plans yet?
We do have an idea of what we want to do here. There's a couple of options out on the table. It's similar to 96 in Allisonville, keep Allisonville open north and south. We do have to make sure that up on 146 in Allisonville that the project is done, so we don't take a lot of people up that route, but it's not necessarily finalized yet. We want to make sure that anything on the Carmel side is also not going to impact the traveling public. So there's options of closing 116th Street and letting Allisonville Road go north-south. There's options of closing Allisonville north-south and having 116th move There's an option of also closing the entire intersection and getting that done as soon as possible. I know that from our other areas that we've been able to build roundabouts in 60 days. So there is options still out there. We're working on finalizing those plans and working also with the businesses and the residents and PR and figuring out what the best option is moving forward on that.
You know, Brad, I find interesting that when we talk about 141st and State Road 37 or Allisonville Road at 116th Street, we as a city have to pay attention to what's happening with the county project at 146th Street and Allisonville Road. And right now, Allisonville Road is closed. It will open in the future. I think the mayor has said he would really like to see Allisonville open before we start some of these major projects, and there are good reasons for that.
For sure, yeah. I mean, we can't have a gridlock situation. So we got to pay attention and communicate with the neighboring communities and keep track of their schedules. Obviously, things can get delayed, so we don't want to solidify our plans too much. We need to maintain some flexibility in case 146 in Allisonville gets delayed or these other different things. But yeah, we always got to be paying attention to the different moving parts of Hamilton County, Marion County.
Well, that's important because not only are we dealing with Marion County at 96th Street, you had to mention Carmel is going to have to be coordinated as far as any of the detours that are going to be put together. You know, we have Carmel, of course, on one direction. We got Noblesville to the north, and we have Hamilton County with their own project there at 146th Street, which is their street, and this is their whole project, which is a big one, which I don't think will be finished until next year. So, it's been some pain for people who live in that area, but I think everyone's trying, including the county Highway Department has tried to work with them. So we've talked about a lot of big projects. Hatem, I just want to kind of go through real quickly some of the roundabouts that are planned or may already be in the works. I understand it's not happening now, but may in the future. 96th Street and Hoosier Road, is that a future roundabout, or do we know that? I've heard talk of it. What do you know?
Unfortunately, 96 and Hoosier is not an intersection. I think 96 and Mollenkopf is an intersection that we have.
Where did I see that? So I don't know.
I think maybe 106 and Hoosier is a project that we just finished.
Let me cross that off, off the list. I was going to say there is no intersection.
Yeah.
126th Street and Southeastern Parkway out on the northeast side of town. That's what do we know about that?
That has bid and it has been awarded, and we're currently in the process of meeting with the contractor for a pre-con. We anticipate that this project is going to be a full closure. So that would be after school gets out. So I want to say it's May, not 100% sure.
When June, I mean by June 1st.
By June 1st.
June 1st? Okay.
Yeah.
A few days before.
And that would be a 60-day closure. It would be a two-lane roundabout. And it will have a connection to Hunter's Run development to the north. So it's a big project. There's items that can be done offline outside of the closure, but we anticipate the closure to last 60 days, finish constructing the roundabout, and open it to the public using Southeastern.
Then there's 126th Street and, I'm sorry, I got that wrong, Olio Road in Southeastern. That's people love to talk about that. Brad, what do you know about what's happening there?
It's a reconfiguration of that existing roundabout. There's other schedules that Tim will know more about. There's another roundabout being built by a private developer. I think that we'd have to coordinate those schedules. There's work on 136th Street coming up that obviously, again, we need to coordinate these multiple projects together. So,
well, that's a good question because Olio Road and Southeastern Parkway, I think even the mayor said that we probably didn't design that the way we should have. I think that's a quote from years ago before you were even here. Mm-hmm. That is, especially for someone who doesn't maybe live in this area, trying to traverse that area is difficult. So explain more about what changes you see at Olio Road and Southeastern.
Yeah, so this has been a hot topic for quite a while. It's a five-legged roundabout currently. We are looking at reconfiguration, just like what Brad said. We're getting rid of one of those legs. We're making 136th Street into a two-way roadway instead of it being a one-way roadway currently. We're reducing the size of that roundabout so it will function like a typical roundabout within the city. It doesn't have those weird configurations and traffic patterns that we see currently. It will have some sort of a teardrop on Olio Road going south, right at 136th Street. So it will allow U-turns. It will allow people turning left from 136th Street going north on Olio Road. So there is going to be an upgrade for sure in that area. And I know there's a lot of headaches currently and a lot of people not happy with that roundabout. But we also, like we mentioned before, Olio is a Hamilton County asset. Mm-hmm. They themselves have a roundabout coming up on 134th and Olio. So we do have to coordinate that construction very closely. We don't want to get into a situation where their detour is coming into our detour and we don't have cohesion between both of those maintenance of traffic phases. So there is going to be a lot of work happening there. There is big developments happening on Olio in that area too. So we're going to keep a very, very close eye on what they're doing.
You know, Brad, since you're involved in some of these capital projects, one that's coming up is the pedestrian bridge. It will be going over 96th Street at the Nickel Plate Trail. In Marion County, it got a lot of attention when Fall Creek had to be closed for a while near the fairgrounds. It caused a lot of mayhem for people in Marion County in the Indianapolis area trying to get traverse that area of town. And one reason that was those rail lines are being taken out is to make way for the extension of the Nickel Plate Trail. That's why that 96th Street pedestrian bridge is coming. Tell us what you know about that.
Yeah, I've worked with the TEM on some different alignments for that bridge and some of the utility impacts and things like that. I've seen the renderings. It's very cool. Marquee bridge, sort of a gateway for the city in some respects. So it should be a very cool project. I think starts later this year.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even get to everything I wanted to talk about today. We're run out of time already, but I want to ask Hotem about something. As I was walking in, we're at the Fall Creek building right now. You're in the process of moving to the new city hall, and I saw members of your staff with plastic containers and discussions about, you know, how connections are going or maybe not going as you make the transition from here to City Hall. And mm-hmm. But you have to be connected to the internet or the internal systems or you just can't work anymore.
Yep.
So tell us how that is working. When do you expect your department to be fully ensconced in new City Hall?
Yeah, so the department has really gone through a lot. I know that there's the beginning of City Hall and the construction. We had to move from City Hall to CSB. So we moved once, and then a couple of months later, we had to move again from CSB to the township building here on 116th and Brook School. And then they came and took our furniture last week, and we're kind of makeshift working on picnic tables right now. We got some items of our own internally to navigate in addition to a lot of the projects that we're working on. So it's very exciting knowing that we're going to go back into City Hall. It's something that we've been waiting on for a long time, and we're really excited to get in there and be with everyone from all of the other departments and have a house there finally.
So today's April 29th. You expect to have your whole staff in there by mid-May, correct?
Yes, between May 13th and May 15th, we expect everyone to be fully moved into the new building. And I just want to welcome Brad. You know, he's come from Carmel. It's been a very, very big transition from him coming and me dumping all of those projects onto his lap. I think it's now, 2 months?
Yeah.
It's almost 2 months, and he's taken on a lot of responsibilities. A lot of these projects are not necessarily the easiest, and they're complicated. But I'm sure, you know, with people moving on, you know, we've been talking together for a couple of years. I worked with Jeff, I worked with Jason, and now working with Brad. So it's good that we are currently, like, the old assistant director was not a lawyer, so now it's an upgrade to have Brad with us, an engineer and a lawyer. So that's we're always looking for those good talents, and I think Fishers is a good place attracting these very, very high talented professionals.
Well, you sort of foreshadowed my last question is for Brad, and just tell me what the transition has been like, how you've settled in here as an employee of the city of Fishers.
Yeah, the City Fishers is lucky. no, they got not. Oh, sorry, not because I've come here. I mean, because
that's the way it sounded, but that's okay.
No, because of the existing staff that's here. You guys are in good hands. They've been very welcoming to me. So you have great people working for you. I hope I can keep up with them join in. So far, it's been great. I definitely picked the right time to come with the transition. All my stuff just stayed in the boxes that I came with. So those will be easy to take over to the new City Hall and unload. But yeah, everyone's been very welcoming and very helpful. And there's a lot of talented people here doing really good work and working very hard for the people of Fishers.
You just heard Brad Pease. He's the new Assistant Director of Engineering for the City of Fishers. And also joining me today, Hatem Mekki, the Director of Engineering for the City. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Thank you.